This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, خالق الوجود من العدم وجاعل النور من الظلم ومخرج الصبر من الألم فملقي التوبة على الندم فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم ذي الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله واللاتي تخافون نشوزهن فعظوهن واهجروهن في المضاجع واضربوهن فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا عليهن سبيلا إن الله كان عليا كبيرا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا صالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. In today's khutbah, I'm going to continue our conversation about the 34th ayah of Surah An-Nisa. An ayah, like I mentioned before, is often quoted and discussed as a real problem, is actually very widely misinterpreted and misused, and a lot of times ends up a reason for which Muslims are apologizing for the Quran because it mentions hitting women. And I said this in the beginning of my series, but I think this is a reminder that needs to be reinforced, especially in our climate. There is a movement around the world for everyone to be politically correct or to conform so they don't fall into criticism, right? And with the age of social media, we are constantly facing criticism. It's become a very powerful force in our lives. So we're constantly looking for a way to say something or do something that's safe, that doesn't garner other people's criticism, and that can actually have real consequences now. But, you know, professors of universities, people in the medical profession, other professions, if they say something about what they believe, and then by their employer or by a larger society or enough of a group, that is considered unacceptable, politically correct, incorrect, whatever else, they can lose their job, right? So this now has very real consequences in the real world. People may not be given a professorship, or people may be, you know, removed from their positions of responsibility simply because they hold a certain kind of view. And one of the premises of our deen, Allah tells us, فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي. Don't be afraid of them, be afraid of me. We declare to Allah Azza wa Jalla, we make a promise to Him, just like we say to Him, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, we say, لَا نَخَافُ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. We don't fear the blame or the criticism of anybody who casts any kind of criticism. In other words, what you and I believe to be true, we have to stand up and say it. If somebody's offended by that, then so be it. But I'm not interested in offending someone. That's the other extreme. Like, now I'm just going to go out of my way and make sure people are offended. That's not it either. I just have to be honest with the word of Allah as sincerely as I can be. And part of my process to try to understand the word of Allah cannot be who is going to like it and who is going to dislike it. That cannot be part of the equation. If that is part of the equation, then I have placed a false god other than Allah Azza wa Jal above the word of Allah. And now the word of Allah has to submit to this political pressure or this social media pressure or whatever else. So that's just a reminder to myself and to all of you that we have to, you know, this is a deen, we ask Allah that He may give us shahada in His sake, right? إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Right? So my prayer, my sacrifice, my life and my death belong to Allah. Well, if that's the case, then criticism shouldn't scare you, especially when it comes to standing up for the word of Allah. And a last bit of reminder for all of us is that when it comes to the word of Allah, first of all, it is in the highest place. And second of all, people who deliberately don't share or don't open up about what Allah is saying, they don't say it, they don't come out and explain it. And even if they know, what does Allah say about those kinds of people? Allah says about those kinds of people, because they already came. Allah accused the Israelites of this crime. He said about them that they hid the word of Allah, and they knew it, right? And he says about those kinds of people, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِن بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. But those are the people Allah curses. Like, we're worried about people cursing us if we say what Allah says. And Allah says that if you don't say what I've given you, then Allah will curse you. And those that Allah has created, angels particularly created just to curse you. يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا. With the exception of those who repented, they corrected themselves, they reformed themselves, and they made things clear. May Allah make us from those who make things clear. Now, because we are in this long ayah, and I like to, when it comes to longer ayat of the Quran, I like to try to give each phrase that Allah has revealed to us as a gift from Him, give it its due. And I've talked about a couple of those phrases. I've given a khutbah about الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. I've given a khutbah about bima faddala Allahu ba'dahum ala ba'd wa bima anfaqu min amwalihim. We talked about that subject in some detail. Then I talked about in last khutbah, fasalihatu qanitatun hafizatun lil ghaibi bima hafizah Allah. The role of women and what good women are supposed to be. There are some outstanding things that I think need to be recapped about that those two phrases, and then we'll move on to the next part, which is going to be wallati takhafuna nushuzahunna. We're going to go to that part of the ayah today as much as we can, okay? So the first thing that I'd like to remind myself of and reinforce from the last time and add something new is, let me start by way of an example. When a teacher walks into class and says, good students, they do their homework every day. Good students do their homework every day. He's not pointing at a particular student. And he just makes this statement. But that statement, or a student doesn't even say good. He says, a student does his homework every day. A student does his homework every day. Well, that simply isn't true, is it? Because the vast majority of those kids don't do their homework every day. So what is he talking? Some kid could just raise his hand and say, false. I'm a student. I've never done my homework. So he could just say that. What is the teacher actually saying? This is where the study of balagha is important, communication psychology. What a teacher is saying when he says, a student does his homework every day, is you better be doing your homework every day. He doesn't have to put it in the form of a threat. He doesn't have to put it in the form of, you should be doing your homework every day. The way, when he says it in this way, what he's actually... Astaghfirullah al-Azim, what is this? Is that one of you? It's okay, take your time. Please put your phones on silent. Okay. So when a student is being told, a student does his homework every day, what he's being told is, if you want to be a student and meet my expectations, this is what you better do. Because a student is meant to do, is supposed to do their homework every day. But you don't have to say the word supposed to. You don't have to say that. When you put it in this way, the expectation has been delivered. The same way Allah says in the Quran, الْخَبِيثَاتُ لِلْخَبِيثِينَ وَالْخَبِيثُونَ لِلْخَبِيثَاتِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ لِلْطَيِّبِينَ وَالطَّيِّبُونَ لِلْطَيِّبَاتِ. The feminine words here have two interpretations. I'll tell you the more common one that's known. The common translation of this ayah is, filthy women are for filthy men, and filthy men are for filthy women, and good women are for good men, and good men are for good women. And then people read this ayah and then write me an email and say, Ustad, I know someone who's a really filthy man, but he's with a good woman. And I know a really filthy woman, but she's with a good man. I was like, you're not the first one to recognize that. First of all, I don't know how you come up with who's filthy and who's not. But Allah described the story of Fir'aun and his wife, didn't he? A filthy man and a good woman. Allah described Lut alayhi salam and his wife, didn't he? Allah azza wa jal described spouses that were horrible and husbands, the other spouse that was great. So what is this ayah saying? It's actually saying what I just told you. A student does his homework every day. In other words, good women are supposed to be with good men. Good, bad people deserve each other. And so they're meant to be with each other. But that's not how it always turns out, just like with the students. Allah designed a fitrah in a way that, yes, sometimes good and bad people will end up together. But that's not how it's supposed to be. That's not what He wants. But that's what so in other words, He's encouraging us to look for good people in life. If you're going to get married, look for a good person. That's the notion behind it. Now coming back to this ayah, when He says, "Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa," the first khutbah that we talked about, when He says men are maintainers, caretakers over women, He's not saying they always are, because a lot of men aren't. A lot of men are sitting home doing nothing and telling their wife to go work. They're doing that too. A lot of men are lying to the government, collecting paychecks or benefits, right? And while being abusive to the family, and they're not qawwam by any stretch of the imagination. This is not a sticker or an award Allah gave to all men and said, "Hey, congratulations, you're qawwam." No, because just like not every student does their homework every day, not every man is qawwam over the women. They're supposed to be. The point of the ayah is, they're supposed to be. The same way when Allah talked about good women, He said good women are, صَالِحَةُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ, that they are subservient, they guard the unseen. What does that mean? Good women, if they are to live up to the standard of being good women, must live up to this standard and do so. They must do so. They're supposed to do so. It's not an automatic statement of fact that all women do so. Just like it's not automatic that all men become qawwam, it doesn't become automatic that all women are salihat, qanitat, hafizat lil ghaib. But this is a standard that we're supposed to work up towards. So when somebody hears this ayah and then says, "Well, I know somebody who's not much of a qawwam, so I don't know how this ayah applies to them." It doesn't, because they're not acting like a qawwam. "Well, I know a woman who's not qanita or salihah or whatever." Well, you know, that's for Allah to decide. But if that's the case, this is not saying all women are this way. It's saying all women are supposed to be this way. So we have to take a step back and really contemplate what we're talking about first. Second, there's a concept in Arabic language called kamalul ittisal. What that means is Allah describes the subject of the sentence is salihat, good women. Then He gave two descriptions. He said, qanitat, then He said, hafizatun lil ghaib. Two things. But He didn't put a waw in between. He didn't say, qanitatun wa hafizatun lil ghaib. He said, qanitatun, hafizatun lil ghaib. There's no harf ataf in between. There's no separator in between. This concept in balagha studies is called kamalul ittisal. And what that means is these two notions are so interchangeable and so fused together that there's no room for them to be thought of separately. It's as if they are expanding on the same concept. Women that are truly humble and subservient to Allah Azza wa Jal are ones that are loyal to their husbands when their husband isn't there. That's actually the point that's being made. That their loyalty to the husband and them preserving the sanctity of the marriage is actually them humbling themselves to Allah. And in it, there's an ishara. And the ishara is some, you know, because I told you last time, in old times, this happened quite often. Men went to war, and men went to travel, and they traveled by sea, and they're gone for months and months and months, sometimes for years, because they're doing tijara. And the woman is at home, and she's like, he's not here. And back then, he's not even sending an email, because they don't have those, right? And he's not writing a letter, because many of them didn't know how to write, so there's no communication. And it's been years, and I miss my husband. I feel lonely. I have nobody to talk to. And then the shaitan comes and says, "Maybe why are you so lonely? You know, the guy in the market, he wants to talk to you. It's okay. You can have some conversation." So what's going to happen over time? Shaitan will want that human desire for company, which is natural. A human being wants company, and a spouse wants to be with the spouse. But if it's been months and months and months of loneliness, then she's struggling with that loneliness. And if she's struggling with that loneliness, and the husband isn't there, he'll never find out what happened. Then the only thing that's stopping her is her subservience to Allah. So Allah tied loyalty in marriage in our religion to actually loyalty to Allah first. So He said, qanitatun hafizatun lil ghaib. But then He added this remarkable, beautiful phrase, bima hafizallah. This is it's almost passed over in tafsir studies sometimes. Only few have commented on it deeply. It's such a powerful phrase. Allah didn't just say women are, you know, they're guarding their husband's dignity by protecting them in their absence. By the way, there's a reciprocal relationship, right? The men are protecting the women in the Quran. They're providing for them. They're protecting them. They're maintaining them. In fact, when they bring them into their family, the Quran says they make them muhsanat. Muhsanat. And what does that mean? They bring them into a fort. Because ihsan is to bring somebody into a fort. Right? A hasan or a hisan is a fort with a sad. And so when a woman is inside the fort, the gates are closed, outsiders can't attack. So a man becomes his woman's shield. That's the idea. He becomes her fort. And so he's protecting her in the Quran. And when she's gone, when he's gone, she's protecting him. She's actually protecting him. They're actually protecting each other. And this is how you understand even the phrase Allah gives us, one of its meanings, you know, hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahunna. You're their clothing, they are your clothing. Part of the implications are clothes protect us. Clothes cover us, clothes shield us. And that's what they become for you. And you're honoring them by providing for them and caring for them, fulfilling that role. And you're not doing it because you love them or because you're very kind and generous. The first reason you're doing is Allah made you do this. Allah said, if you're going to get married, you better be qawwam ala nisa. You better do this. If you're not ready to do this, then you shouldn't be entering into this territory. You're not ready to be qawwam ala nisa, then you're not ready to be married. The same way, if a woman isn't ready, let me be real with you. If a woman is not ready to be qanitat hafizat lil ghaib, what does that mean? Well, I have friends on Instagram, I have friends on Facebook, I have a lot of friends from college, a bunch of guys I know that still Snapchat me and I Snapchat back to them. And the guy says, we're getting married. I don't think I want you to talk to your old friends that you used to hang out with. Yeah, but we're best friends. It's okay. No big deal. No, but I'm not comfortable with it. Okay, fine. I won't talk to them. She says, I won't talk to my friends. And then the husband is gone. How is he going to know? You can make another profile. You can talk to whoever you want. If you're not ready to make a commitment and to respect the boundaries that you're setting for each other ahead of time in marriage, then you have no business getting married. And this isn't for you. Because hafidhullah means the door opens in one way. And then it goes somewhere else. Infidelity isn't just a woman cheating on her husband or a man cheating on his wife. It starts with emotional infidelity. It starts with communication infidelity. Infidelity, cheating has stages, has levels. And this ayah is about that. It is in fact about that. And the door to that is now wide open. Oh, that's just a friend of mine. That's just someone I used to work with. That's just this, that's just that. Why are you talking to them? What's the purpose? Well, you know, because I want to be nice. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. When there's no purpose in communication, there shouldn't be communication. And some husbands will come and say, no, I'm completely okay with her having whatever communications with her friends. She's not a bad person. Not everybody's a pervert, et cetera, et cetera. This logic, right? That sounds great, except we say things like, oh, no, shaitan's not real, not for them. Shaitan bothers everyone else, not them. So when the Prophet ﷺ said that a man and a woman are alone, right, that the third one is shaitan, yeah, a man and a woman, but every other man and a woman, not her and him, they're immune, they got vaccinated from shaitan. They don't get that. Everybody else gets that. So they're completely fine. Everybody wants to be the exception. These principles are given to us for a reason. Nobody would ever think bad of their brother-in-law. Like my wife and my brother, I would never think something wrong. But what did the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, alhamdul maut. The brother-in-law is death, is ultimate death. Why did he say that? Not because your brother is an evil guy or because he's a pervert, because shaitan is real. Because the devil wants to destroy marriages. Because the mind can work in crazy ways. If you're not open to that reality, if you're too, and I'm too self-righteous to think these kinds of thoughts can never penetrate anyone's mind, then we are kidding ourselves. This is part of وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ, that the one who's really good at deceiving you, deceived you. لَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't consider yourself so pure. Don't consider yourself so righteous that you would never fall into such a temptation. You would never have any thought like that. Allah knows. Allah knows. And Allah tells us exactly what goes inside. He says, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَذِيرًا. A human being knows exactly what goes on inside of themselves. They have a good view of what goes inside. And they keep giving excuses on the outside. You can yell at me or anybody else, it's not like that, I'm not like that, and get defensive. But you know what? You can't hide from yourself inside. And even if you shield yourself from your own true self, Allah knows. Allah knows in the end. So, you know, these ayat are not just talking about some ancient reality of the guy off to travel. Now, you can violate as a woman or even as a man, you can violate your hiv of the ghaib. And particularly now Allah is talking to women, so I'll talk about what Allah is saying instead of sugarcoating it. If you aren't protecting yourself from the kinds of communications your husband does not want, then you're violating this regulation that Allah gave. Qanitatun hafizatun lil ghaib. But then what did he add? He added bima hafiz Allah. This is what I was telling you is a profound phrase. You know, Allah has, this is not a hadith or anything, but scholars have accepted this phrase, you know, and which is that we have to have takhalluq bi akhlaqillah. Takhalluqu bi akhlaqillah. What that means is Allah has certain ways of doing things, right? Like Allah is ar-Rahman. And He likes for His creation to have rahmah too. Allah is al-Wadud. He wants us to be loving also. He is as-Sabur. He wants us to have sabr also. Allah is al-Alim. And He is honored for us to have knowledge also. So the attributes of Allah are inspiring the human being to pursue those attributes as a slave of Allah. So the same way Allah says to the believer, He says, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Allah has excelled to you, so you should excel. So Allah says, He does it, so you should do it. The same way Allah Azza wa Jal honored the Prophet ﷺ and said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا. So he's attributing the same thing to himself and he's inspiring his slaves to do it, right? When he talked to women in this ayah, he said, you better guard the unseen because حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ. So what did Allah do? Allah mentioned how He guards. Allah mentions Himself guarding, Himself protecting. And it's basically saying women should guard the honor of the family when they can't be seen, nobody can know, password protected. When all of that's going on, then they should guard the honor of the family. Why? Because Allah has guarded. Because Allah has guarded. So what did Allah do? Allah took something that He does. And we contemplate, how does Allah guard? Allah guards my immune system. Allah guards my family. Allah guards my home from being broken into. Allah guards me on the road when I'm driving, a truck doesn't ram into me for no mistake of mine. Allah guards my tires from bursting in the middle of the highway. Allah guards and Allah guards and Allah guards, and said He sends legions of angels just for the protection of His believers. وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظًا. Allah is guarding all the time. And in the marriage, Allah guarded you from the fitna of being alone by giving you the gift of marriage. Allah guarded you by giving you the gift of the husband or the wife. Allah guarded you. Allah guarded those children, so now they have legitimate parents. Allah guarded those families and their future generations that their deen could be guarded, because now the marriage is there. This marriage isn't just about a man and a woman, it's about the future generations that will say, La ilaha illallah. Allah guarded all of that because of this institution, because of marriage. This is why revelation is called mithaqan ghaliza. And the marriage contract is called mithaqan ghaliza. وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ mithaqan ghaliza. A tough contract, a powerful contract. Why? Because Allah's blessings in families and families and families carry on because of this institution. We make du'as like, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا at the end of Surah Al-Furqan. We beg Allah to give us the coolness of our eyes from our spouses and our children. Why? Coolness of the eyes means what? I want to be happy with my spouse and my child. I don't want to have fights with my spouse and my child. I want to feel at peace. Everywhere else there's a storm. When I come home, I feel peace because I'm with my spouse and my children. That's what I want to feel. Why should I feel that? What is the goal, feeling good? No. Once you have that peace, now you're able to carry the deen forward. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. The seed is a harmonious family, and then may Allah, we ask Allah to make us leaders over muttaqeen, meaning our children are going to, you know, grow up to be muttaqeen, and they're going to be leaders themselves, and they'll carry taqwa forward generations down. We have to think 1,000 years ahead. So this little act of the husband and wife guarding each other is actually something Allah designed to have guarded. It's meant to be guarded. There are two dimensions of hafizullah. One, that Allah has already guarded us by way of the institution of marriage. Honor that institution. Allah protected you, don't walk away from His protection. Allah took care of you, don't walk away from the way He took care of you. You see, if Allah gave you and me protection of some kind, like Allah gave you, for example, a home, and He gave you the blessing of having a door in your home that you can lock, and you don't use that lock, you leave it half open, and you put a sign outside, robbers welcome. Then you don't say, I don't know why Allah did this to me. Allah provided you everything you needed for you to be safe. You opened the door. You did that to yourself. You don't get to blame Allah after that. I'm giving you that ridiculous analogy so you can understand something. We're doing the exact same thing in our relationships. We're doing the exact same thing. Allah has guarded us by way of the institution of marriage. And then we come, now that we've talked about that, look at this beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ألا كلكم راع. All of you are shepherds. You better know, all of you are shepherds. وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. And all of you are answerable for your flock. So the people in your family, he's talking to the men. فَالْأَمِيرُ الَّذِي عَلَى النَّاسِ رَاعٍ. The head, the leader over people, the governor over the people, he's going to be a shepherd. وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. And he's going to be answerable over his flock. وَالرَّجُلْ رَاعٍ عَلَى أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ. And a man is a shepherd over the family of his home, meaning the people in his house, he's the shepherd over them. He has to protect them. By the way, what is this shepherd business? All the prophets were shepherds, by the way, many of them, right? And sheep, they love going off the edge of a cliff. I don't know what Allah put in them, but they love, hey, something's moving in the bushes. Might be a wolf. I should head that way. And they don't. And when you pull them away, they say, I don't want to go. So what's the purpose of being a shepherd? You're supposed to steer your family away from things that are harmful. You're supposed to protect them. You're supposed to guide, and you're supposed to care for them. You're supposed to make sure they're fed, and looking out for predators and threats all around. That's what Allah is. He's carrying a stick with him, not for the sheep. He's carrying it for the wolves, right? And he's constantly protective. And when he does that, then this is what we become in our homes. وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْهُمْ وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَاعِيَةٌ عَلَى بَيْتِ بَعْلِهَا وَوَلَدِهِ. Listen to this. And a woman is a shepherd over the household of her husband and his children. So when he's gone, she's the shepherd. In his absence, which is most of the time in the working day, if you've got a real job, you've got to go out. Nowadays, maybe you're working at home. But you know what? Nowadays, you can be home and not home at the same time. Because you're lost inside your phone, you're in your own universe. And your family members are in their own universe. So they're all ghaib from each other, right? But she's being given the responsibility too. It's not just that the men are responsible, women are responsible too. وَالْعَبْدُ رَاعٍ عَلَى مَالِ سَيِّدِهِ وَهُوَ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْهُ أَلَا فَكُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. This is an agreed upon hadith. The slave is answerable to the master, the employee to the employer. This is a principle of our deen. So let's step back now for a moment and understand the principle. What is the principle in our deen? Every relationship that Allah has created, whether it's between an employer and an employee, whether it's between a father and a son, or a father and a daughter, or a mother and a child, or a husband and a wife, any relationship Allah has created comes with a set of rights and responsibilities. And those when you fulfill your responsibilities, you're not doing them for that person, like I said last khutbah, you're doing them for Allah, so they don't have to be there for you to do them. If your boss isn't there, that doesn't mean you're taking an early break. If your employer isn't watching, the security camera is off, doesn't mean you start playing video games. You're still doing your job. You have to be honest with your work. If your customer isn't watching, doesn't mean you get to sell them less inferior items. You don't get to do that. The same way in our marriage. The same way the husband and wife owe each other. So now with this context that has been so well established by the ayah, Allah then turns his attention back to men. And as I go further, I will tell you there are two ayat, you have to look at them together. And then when we go a step further back, there are two surahs we have to look at together, which we're going to do in the coming weeks. The two ayat we have to look at together are this ayah, number 34, and the other ayah in this surah, ayah number 128. 128. Why? Because the same word, nushuz, occurs in both of these ayat. And it flips the sequence. Here, Allah says, وَالَّاتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ. That's the only part I'll talk about briefly today. And those women from whom you fear nushuz. I won't translate nushuz yet. So Allah tells men, and you men, those of you men who are afraid of your women's nushuz, it scares you. What should you do? Well, we've got to figure out what nushuz is and why is it scary? Because Allah literally mentions fear here. And it's something, what did I say, 34? And then the other ayah is 128 on the other side, yeah? And in 128, Allah flips this and says, وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا. And if there's a woman and she's afraid of nushuz from her husband. So now in this ayah, men are being told, by the way, if you are afraid of the nushuz of your wives, and in that ayah, and if a woman is afraid of the nushuz of her husband, so both have been addressed, yes? Now let's take a step back again. Nushuz cannot in the ayah, it makes the least sense to mean nushuz means disobedience. Nushuz cannot mean disobedience. Why? Because if nushuz means disobedience, this ayah is about if you're afraid that your wife disobeys you, then the other ayah is what? And if a woman is afraid that the husband disobeys her. So now they're both commanding each other and obeying each other. That's not what this is. There's something else going on in the ayah, and this is called in'ikas. What qualities did Allah Azza wa Jal give in the ayah to men, and what qualities did He give women? What expectations did He give women? The women were told to guard their modesty for the husband, be loyal to their husbands. Now a husband, when he's, if you think of disobedience, disobedience would be, hey, can you bring me a glass of water? I'm tired. That doesn't scare you, does it? Is that scare you? Like you say, I'm not sure if I should ask for a glass of water right now. I don't know, what if she says no, it's really scary. That's not what you're thinking. And if you're thinking that, see me after the khutbah, you have other issues going on. But the point is, what scares a man is actually, is she talking to someone I don't want her talking to? Is there something going on? Why was that guy looking at her? Why did she smile like that? The suspicion comes into mind. You're protective. You know, you're protective and possessive of your spouse, and the spouse, the wife, is possessive of you, and that in that possession, sometimes you say, what was going on there? Why did that happen? I didn't like that. And it keeps on happening. And as it keeps on happening, your paranoia is building. And that paranoia is actually being talked about. What is nushuz here? It's actually infidelity. If the husband is starting to think she has feelings for somebody else, she likes somebody else, she's talking to somebody else, she's thinking about somebody else, she's not loyal anymore in some way. It doesn't have to be zina. Infidelity is not just about the act. Infidelity can be communication, it can be friendship, it can be emotional, you know. Who were you talking to? Nobody. What do you mean nobody? Who are you talking to? Oh, just somebody. I thought he was nobody. He just upgraded to somebody. Who's this somebody? You don't know him. Him? Oh. Who's this him? Is he family? Well, it feels like family. What's going on? What's going on here? And he's getting afraid. Something's up. There's something wrong here. You know? Why are you asking so many questions? Now, when you say, why are you asking so many questions? If you're thinking that when you ask that question, the husband will be like, you're right, I shouldn't ask any questions. Now I'm finally calm because you told me not to ask questions. All the paranoia disappeared. Thanks for saying, why are you asking so many questions? No, once you say, why are you asking so many questions, the suspicions go exponentially higher. There's something going on. And when can that kind of thing happen? Clearly when a husband and a wife are not communicating openly, when there's a lack of trust, when there's a lack of, what were you doing? Where were you? What's going on? And there's a constant paranoia, you're becoming the FBI on each other all the time, right? That means something else, something more fundamental in the relationship has already broken apart. It's come to the point where you're suspecting each other constantly of something else going on and something else happening. That actually it's a horrible state to be in, and it's a terrible feeling. And we are afraid to ever have to live through that, a feeling like that. So it's appropriate that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the word fear here for both men and for women. For men and women, this is a scary thing. And so this is our starting point for the rest, for the what is supposed to be the controversial part of the ayah. And it's no controversy. Allah has given us a gift in the ayah. Allah has given us solutions in the ayah. Allah has taught us a way of saving marriage in the ayah. And we'll look at all of those pieces. We don't have to run from any of them. We're going to look at all of them, inshallah ta'ala, and be as loyal as we can be to the word of Allah, and be good husbands and good wives by way of learning these lessons. So I pray Allah Azza wa Jal protects all of us, men and women, from nushuz, because it can be committed from either side. right? So now the infidelity component, nushuz, can happen from a man and can happen from a woman. And both of them have been talked about, and we're going to contemplate both of them, inshallah ta'ala. And I also pray that we men are able to be the qawwam Allah expects us to be, and the women are able to be the salihat, qanitat, hafidat al-ghayb that Allah expects them to be. And may we become, the husbands and the wives become, the coolness of the eyes for each other in this dunya and in the next. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله، اتقوا الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.